good looking group of people out there today. Turn to your neighbor and congratulate them on being so handsome. Glad you guys are here. We, like Guy said, we're starting a new series today. We talked a little bit about it last week. It's called 40 Days in the Word. Can't wait to get into it this morning. There is also, next Sunday is our Bump Up Sunday. So that is where they bump up, your kids bump up to the next grade in our classes, for our kids' classes and also junior high and high school. So remember that, Promotion Sunday. How many of you are like a fifth grader going into sixth grade? Do we have any junior hires, families with junior hires? If their hands are raised, please pray for those parents. They're going to need that over the next few years. It's always good to have promotions and graduations. How many of you have been to your share of graduations already this spring, and you've got more to come? Children graduating, high schoolers graduating, college graduations. They're good. They're milestones where we go from one phase to another phase. Tell me something by a show of hands. How many graduated high school? Let's say high school, because most people graduated high school. How many graduated high school since 2000? Since the year 2000? Raise your hand. Go ahead. Be proud. Be proud. Look around. These are the people who still have hopes and dreams right now. Give them a few years. Okay, how many graduated high school in the 90s? Let me see, 90s? Yeah, you like that? That was a good decade. You had Nirvana, Pearl Jam, R.E.M. You ended up with Backstreet Boys and Britney, though, so I don't know how that all worked out. Anybody graduate like myself in the 80s? Come on, there we are right there, in the 80s. This was big hair. Do you remember the big hair? This is shoulder pads in the shirts, girls. Yeah, rolled up jeans. 80s music. Somebody put it on pause. Nothing really good happened in the 80s as far as music. But how many in the 70s? Raise your hand. You graduated in the 70s. 70s, the BJs, Disco Fever, Stevie Wonder, Elton John, bell bottoms out to here, collars out to here, silk shirts. 70s were wild. But not as wild as how many of you graduated, come on, in the 60s. Have you graduated in the 60s? Right on. You don't remember your graduation probably too much because it was the 60s and all, so we understand if you're just still kind of waking up. That's okay. 50s. Anybody graduate high school in the 50s? Right on. You're just still glad to be with us, I'm sure, so we're glad to have you with us too. Graduation is one of those milestones where you go from one phase to another. And that's kind of the premise of what we're hoping to see accomplished here in these 40 days in the Word. That you can look back on the summer of 2017 and you can say, you know what? That was a time where the Word became truly alive to me. I understood it. I dug into it. Things were revealed, and I grew up, in a sense, in my understanding of God and His Word. It was during that summer, because that's what we're going to do for this summer series, is we're going to dig into God's Word. And I'm trusting and hoping and believing that it's truly going to be a milestone moment that you think about and remember for the rest of your life. Here's the goal of the series. You can write this down. That God would show us the living Word through the written Word. He'd show us the living Word through the written Word. In other words, what this means is that we'd have an encounter with Jesus. Because that's really what it's all about. That He would use, as we look into the written Word, the Logos, and it would reveal and enlighten and bring us to more of a fuller knowledge and a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. As we mentioned last week, Jesus is referred in the scripture, we'll talk a little bit more about that later, from beginning to end. And so what we've done to accompany this is we've got, you can reach in your program, and you see this, it's the Bible reading plan. So we've printed this out for you. We also have it on our app that you can use. Just scroll down and you'll see it. And so it's for 6 weeks that we're doing this series. We're hoping and believing that you're gonna come to the services. We're gonna dig into the Word on Sundays. But then this is a Bible reading plan that's kind of an overview. So it jumps, you know, around different passages. And at the end of these 6 weeks, you'll have a good broad foundation of looking at this is what the Word of God is all about. And so I know for some of you, pardon me, for some of you, this might be the first time you've ever truly intentionally said, I am going to dig into the word and look at this and give myself to this and get ready, because the word changes you. The Bible says in Hebrews that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, the word hearing really, it means to understand, to comprehend. So my faith really grows. It gets strengthened as I understand the word of God, because the word of God is living. It's active. It changes us and transforms us. So what I want to do right from the onset is just give a little bit of a background on what the Bible really is all about, just an overview. So the Bible, it's not like most books. It's not just something that you read from beginning to end. It's more like a library. You've got 66 books in the Bible. You have 39 in the Old Testament and 37. How many you got in the Old Testament? 39 in the Old Testament and 20, what is it, 29? 27? No, yeah, 27 in the New Testament. Thank you, I'm a Bible scholar. I should know these things. 39 Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. And they're written over a span of about 1,600 years. You got 40 different authors. They're written on three different continents, three different languages. All this time, people, many of these authors did not know each other. And so it's an accumulation of these books that comprise what we know as the Bible. And it's amazing because you've got all this diversity, again, the different kinds of authors and who they were over all this time, and there's all this diversity, and yet there's such unity in its meaning and its significance and what it's trying to create. The unity is organized throughout the Bible in one big theme, and that's the redemption of mankind and all of creation through Jesus Christ, from cover to cover. So the disclaimer is I'm not gonna be able to, over these 6 weeks, answer all your questions about the Bible, nor could I answer all your questions about the Bible. I couldn't even remember how many books were in the Bible. But we've listed on your outline, you have your outline? Some great resources, recommended resources at the bottom of it, because there's gonna be something maybe in today's message or you think, oh, that's of interest to me. I want you to go and look at these resources and dig into them. Find them on your own time and read them. They're fascinating, and these you can all trust. They're very, very good. So let's begin by looking at this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Pardon me. There is nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed. Everybody say that word. Or those two words, God-breathed. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another. And this is what it does, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. And this is what we pray is going to happen as we go in these 40 days throughout this summer series, is that God will put us together, shape us up, bring enlightenment to what his scripture really says is of value for our lives, our families, how we live. And so here's kind of the premise. You can write this down in your outline. Christians, regarding the Bible, we believe that the Bible is inspired. We believe that the Bible is inspired. So that's the beginning point. And not inspired like the word is traditionally used, like a singer might be inspired, or an artist or a painter might be inspired. But this is where that word God-breathed is, that it's breathed on by God. It conveys the idea that God's breathing out the scriptures, not with men in some kind of a trance and he channeled through them, but gave them understanding, gave them light, gave them the word, and they scripted it down. That it, the scripture you can count on is inspired by God. And the point of that is this. Orthodox Christianity, we believe here at Venice Church and in all of the East Lake Network churches that for the last 15 years, what has been Orthodox Christianity, we're not parting from that. There are some churches that are, because of the culture and what's going on in culture, they deviate, whereas not wanting to offend or something like that and change their doctrine and change the theology, we're not. So we believe in Orthodox Christianity and the infallibility of the scriptures, that it can be trusted. And that's really what I want to talk about as we lay this before we go 40 days in the word. How can I know I can trust the word of God? I mean, I can answer that really clearly for me after walking with him all these years. It's never failed. It's truth as you've never seen. But I want to give just a couple of things that are helpers for us as we launch into this. Now, how can I trust what the Bible says and that it is God's word? So number one, I can trust the Bible historically. It's the greatest history book that we have in mankind. That these events, these stories, these people, these places actually existed. They're not figments of an imagination. You have traveled, some of you have traveled all over the world, and you've been in places that have been referenced by the Bible. So the first thing to understand is that I can trust the Bible historically. History hasn't proven it wrong. And because of that, and supportive of that, I can trust the Bible archaeologically. Archaeologically. There has never been anything pulled out of the earth in the history of archaeological excavations that has disproved the Bible. In fact, over the last 100 years where there have been a plethora of them, so much has only served to support the scriptures. And that's kind of a cool thing because mankind is always catching up to God, you know? There was a couple of interesting ones. There was in 1961, there was something that's called Pontius Pilate's stone. And the reason it kind of mattered, not that we needed that to prove anything, but some of the skeptics of scripture have always kind of pointed to that because there's never been any good reference point for Pontius Pilate, who was supposed to be, and the Bible claims, was the governor of Judea during the time of the Roman Empire when Christ was on the earth. And so they kind of pointed at that because there's never been any manuscripts that have been found or anything that suggest that or say that he was, because manuscripts get lost. Stuff gets lost. And so they use that and say, see, this is one of those things that those Christians say that doesn't even really exist. There's no proof that he was there. Then in 1961, in the region of Caesarea, you got the region up here, you can kind of see where that is. In one of the palaces of Herod's, the great, they were doing an excavation there, and they turned over one of the stones, an archaeologist turned over one of the stones and found this inscription on it. And this just happened back in 61. It was very cool. It said, Pontius Pilatus, the prefect of Judea, erected a building to the emperor Tiberius. It's like you just got to catch up with what the Bible says. These digs continue to support. Most of you have heard about, maybe you've even seen as they've traveled around being shown, the Dead Sea Scrolls that were found in caves in the 40s and the 50s. And it was fascinating because they found 1,500 fragments in these caves that was really found on an accident. Somebody would throw a rock in there and it cracked the pottery, and inside they were preserved, and inside here were all these manuscripts in these fragments. 1,500 fragments, 500 different manuscripts found there, dating back, some of them dating back to 200 BC. In fact, every book of the Old Testament was found in there except for Esther. Every book of the Old Testament. Amazing. One of the books, Isaiah, which had so much prophecy towards the coming Messiah, was dated 1,000 years earlier than the one that we currently had. That was dated as far back as we could go. This one that they found in there, 1,000 years earlier, as they compared word for word exact. I mean, this kind of stuff, you know, archaeology just continues to support these things. And you can go on and on. And again, look at those resources. There's some things for those of you who go, oh, I like this kind of stuff. I want this kind of stuff. Read that and find and dig, and you'll be amazed at what you find. We can also trust the Bible scientifically. Scientifically. Now, the Bible is not written to be a scientific textbook, but there is no bad science in the Bible, and there is no science that disproves the Bible. Johannes Kepler, famous mathematician and astronomer. I love what he said here. He said, science is simply thinking God's thoughts after him. That's right. Science is thinking God's thoughts after him. In other words, God established laws. God established the laws of physics, and then mankind discovered them. God established laws of mathematics, laws of biology. Science and man discovers them. It says in creation that God created the universe. God created the universe. Science is beginning to understand how God created the universe. Science always ends up catching up. There's nothing in science that disproves the Bible. This proves the authenticity or the claims of Scripture. Science comes behind and supports. In the New Testament, we see that even though it was canonized in like 370 AD, somewhere around there, these books of the New Testament were all written within the first generation after Jesus resurrected and ascended back to heaven. So they were eyewitness accounts of different men who wrote what they had seen Jesus do. It wasn't that they got together and collaborated and figured out, here, you talk about this and I'll do this. And well, he said this, so I better support this. Different men, different places, different regions, but all eyewitnesses. Luke was one of those men who wrote. And he said this in Luke chapter 1. He says, many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They used the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write a careful account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so that you can be certain of the truth of everything that you were taught. Now again, look at the resources for more information, more supporting arguments on these three things, whether archaeology or science, whatever it is that, you know, turns it for you. Find out some stuff. Write this down. I can also trust the Bible prophetically. I can trust the Bible prophetically. This means that the predictions of Scripture, they always come true. Notice the word always. I mean, you don't get somebody like Nostradamus saying that. You're not talking about predicting 20,000 things and 200 of them coming true. Every prophecy in Scripture, there's over 2,500 prophecies in Scripture. So far, to this point, over 2,000 of them have come true. The rest are remaining to the end times that are still rapidly coming true all the time. Prophecies come true in the Bible. In fact, it was a big deal to be a prophet of the Bible, because when you prophesied something in the name of God, you had to be right. It's not like, well, you know, well, he got most of them right. If you were not right in what you prophesied, guess what happened to you? You were taken outside the city and you were stoned. And we're not talking about the 60s generation again. We're talking about rocks were thrown at you and you died, right? So to prophesy these things, and they had over 300 prophetic references, prophecies were towards Jesus the Messiah, who he would be, where he'd come from, how he would die, how he'd be born, how he'd live, what region, what he would do, what his occupation would, what would happen to him. 300 fulfilled in Jesus Christ. At some point, I heard somebody say this one time, and I believe it. At some point, when you just look and you do the research and you do your due diligence, it takes more faith not to believe the Bible than to believe the Bible. Because you really have to try to find an argument against. We're not talking about trying to just start out, even if you're here and you're seeking, you're not sure about, just start out from a place of, look, this is real stuff. Very smart and intelligent men have tried, like Josh McDowell, wonderful author now and Christian evangelist and communicator, but a lawyer that started out with the intent that he was finally gonna disprove the Bible. Can't be done. Can't be done. So scientifically, prophetically, one of the ones that I like prophetically, there was over 10 prophecies about this, and this is just fascinating because it happened just before, you know, our lifetime, and some of you were here when it happened. But it was 1941 when Israel, who had been disbanded and not a nation since about AD 70, not a nation at all, survived and came back as the Bible prophesied over 10 different times and would be a nation again. In 1941, we saw that happen. That's phenomenal. If you look, if the globe, if the earth is a boulder, Israel is like this little pebble, and yet it's still being protected and preserved and honored by God. It's phenomenal. At some point, all these things, you just kind of go, all right, what's up? I know I can trust the Bible. Look at what 2 Peter 1:21 says. Prophecy has never been a product of human initiative, but it comes when men and women are moved to speak on behalf of God by the Holy Spirit. This goes back to, we believe the Scriptures are God-breathed. All right, here's another key reason that I believe we can trust the Bible. We can trust it thematically. It is thematically unified. There is one big central theme throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So you say, okay, well, what's the big deal about that? Again, think about it. 40 different authors, 1,600 years that this Bible was written. Three different continents, three different original languages. One theme. Many of these authors, most of them did not know each other. Some of these authors were princes and kings. Some of them were shepherds. Some of them wrote them in palaces. Some were written in prison, distanced apart, not knowing, not having manuscripts to try to add on to. One theme from beginning to end, the redemption of mankind, all pointing towards Jesus from Genesis forward, from Revelation back. One theme, I mean, we could understand this if it were something that one author wrote. You have the Quran, it was written by Muhammad. The writings of Buddha were written by Buddha. This is 40 different guys over 1,600 years on and on. The impossibility factor is profound. And yet there's one theme throughout all, one theme throughout the whole thing. Jesus Christ is the Messiah and the Redeemer of mankind and all of creation. Phenomenal. Everything in Scripture points to Jesus from thousands of years earlier to when the last book of the New Testament was written, book of Revelation. We talked about this briefly last week. Jesus was talking to the guys on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection. Once again, look at what it says. Jesus took them through all the writings of Moses, way thousands of years earlier, all the writings of Moses, all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself, that we can see him in every book of the Bible. Now lastly, and to me, most importantly, is we can trust the Bible personally. We can trust it personally. For the Bible to really make a difference in your life, you have to trust it personally. The scriptures were not meant, they're a great history book, but they were not meant to be just a history book or a book on science or a literary book. It was meant to be a book, scriptures, that had the power to transform and to change us. And the relevance of the Bible to me is what's so fascinating. So fascinating. I mean, again, from when it was written, it still, these ancient scriptures and texts still speak directly to the core issues of mankind, speak to the issues of loyalty and disloyalty and of trust and of hope and of needs that need to be repaired and fixed and rebellion and correction and teaching and instruction. These things, they still have pertinence. They mattered thousands of years ago and hit home on it, and they matter still today. It's relevant and it speaks to lives, whether you live in Asia or you live in Africa, whether you live in Europe. I hear the Bible can even change people who live in Los Angeles. It's amazing. It doesn't matter what time we're talking about, when somebody read the scriptures or where they lived or what language they spoke. Tell me another book like that that has the same central theme. Why does it have this power? Because it's alive. It says it in Hebrews chapter 4 that the word of God is living. It's living. It's our job to get it into our heads. That's why we have like this Bible reading plan where we take the word and we read it and we get it in. By faith, we trust this. And then it's the Holy Spirit's job to make it real to us. And you know how many times on a Sunday, and I love it when this happens, but somebody will come up to me almost every week, if not every week, somebody will come up and say, oh, Pastor Mark, shoot, that was for me. That message was for me. Oh my, how did you even know? And I'll tell them, because your wife slipped me a little coin on the side. Told me something you needed to hear, that's why. Pastor salary don't cut it. I gotta find another way to do that. No. So Holy Spirit does that. That's what he does. When that happens and all of a sudden you're reading, you've had this happen, whether it's in a message or you're reading the word and it's all, and you could have read that passage and seen that passage dozens of times, maybe hundreds of times before. And now you're reading and something jumps out at you and it becomes alive and you feel it and you're like, yes, what is that? That's the Holy Spirit. And his tool is the word of God, the Bible. That's why it's so important to get into it. Some people wonder why I'm never growing or I'm never changing. And I'm not being religious on this. I'm saying, are you feeding your spirit? We got to get into the word of God and give the Holy Spirit opportunity to do what he wants to do and study it. So that's one of the things I'm hoping for in this 40 days is that we do that together and watch what happens in that time. Look at James chapter 1, verse 25. He says, but if, now see, there's the key word there, right? We don't have to. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, that's the scriptures. And if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. We have our part. He's a blesser. He wants to strengthen. He wants to liberate. Some people have used the Bible to hurt people. They've used the Bible out of context to support war and racism and all kinds of evil. That's not right. The Bible, the scriptures, the God-breathed scriptures were meant for one thing, and that's to transform us and to liberate us into freedom and cause us to love and cause us to walk like him and to prepare us to know him. That's what God wants to do. That's his intent to do. And it's fair, but you don't have to go to seminary. A lot of people's seminary experience has been more like a cemetery experience. You don't have to do that. You just start reading the word of God. I remember where I was when I came to the Lord. I was in prison. It was, you know, 30 plus years ago. And I was there just for a couple of years, just being a screwball. But it's there I came home to Jesus. And I didn't have Bible schools to go to. My mom, thank God for moms, right? Mom sent me a Bible, and I began to read, like, the book of Romans and the Gospels. I began to read those, and I began to take notes. I had a notepad. I began to take notes, just like verse by verse, and just take notes on things. And I used to pray, Holy Spirit, just tell me what this means, because I don't understand what it means, and just take notes. Fast forward, like, 10 years later, when I was in Bible college, I looked at those old notepads that I had. I couldn't believe it was some of the same stuff that I was learning from these professors now. It's the Holy Spirit does these things. And that's why he says you have no need to have a teacher. I mean, teachers are good and we want them, but you have the Holy Spirit. He will dive into the word. Dive in and say, well, I get lost after, you know, a chapter and stuff. Well, just stay on a verse. Just meditate on that and think about that and write about that and journal about that. We're gonna have some journals available for you next week too. But give God an opportunity to do what he so longs to do in your life. And again, this isn't just a you need to read your Bible more. That's not what this is. It's you get to. You can trust it. It's been proven. And it's been proven to change lives. And many of us in this room can bear testimony to that. Changes lives. So join us on these 40 days. Let's come to every service if you can. I know sometimes you're out of town and travel, but if you can, come so we can dig in and not miss. And let's read this Bible plan together. And let's be a part and open our hearts up to what God can do when we give him a chance. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for the fact that we can trust your word. It is infallible. It's truth. We can bank on it. We can anchor to it. Many of us have been through many storms in life, highs and lows. But your word has never changed. It stays the same. You can count on it. It's been proven, not only over time, but by so many of us in our lives. We can run to it. It's a foundation that we can build our lives on, our families on, our careers on. We pray that you would be with us in this journey for these next 40 days, over these next 6 weeks as we look into your word and dive into it. Lord, help us by the power of your Holy Spirit, unearth things, illuminate your word to us, give us insight and the courage to apply it into our lives so that we may be transformed, that we may be changed. We thank you for that. And Lord, I especially pray for those who have never really intentionally done something like this. I pray you'd bless them for it, God, as they invest into this and sow in it. Meet them in that quiet time when they're reading the word. Meet them and encourage them and equip their minds and their hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm stoked. I'm really glad that we're gonna be doing this. It's gonna be a fun journey. I want you to take out your connection card. You have that? It's this blue card that Guy referenced earlier. Somebody say, why do you call him Guy? What's his name? The Guy. It's a good thing his name's not Dude, right? Guy works for us. Any.